website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input, your giving your 2 cents worth, as some like to call it, as we do the broadcast each and every day. It's designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A format. We set the stage, ask the question, and invite you to join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issues of the day. We're talking about today the Ten Commandments and lawlessness. The Ten Commandments and lawlessness. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that across the nation, several states are introducing legislation to post in stone, in marble, in materials, the Ten Commandments in their state houses, or to have them put in the public schools? Wow. That's a novel thought. But did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, there are battles taking place, court battles. State of Texas introducing it to put the Ten Commandments in every classroom. You would think that the state of Texas had decided to shoot the president based on the responses by some of the media in Texas, calling it a crying shame, saying that it could be irreparably harmed to some of the kids that might read the Ten Commandments. Looking at one article that says, court hears another case to censor the Ten Commandments. Do you believe it? Another challenge to the Ten Commandments, this time in Arkansas, including among other would-be censors, is the Satanic Temple. And it goes on to talk about the details. Another headline, the Ten Commandments needed in America today for no time like this before. And it goes on to talk about the Ten Commandments needed in a nation where there seems to be lawlessness. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic party. I don't believe he's ever read the Ten Commandments. I don't think they would have any recognition of any of Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 17. I don't think they would recognize the statements in the Ten Commandments. We're going to be talking about that as an elongated monologue, and then we're going to introduce our very special guest today. We'll introduce the guest, and we'll talk about what is happening in America, some of the things that's taking place today. Some of the things we'll talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, will be what is happening in the state of Florida with some of the conservative Republicans and the governor ready to pass legislation that would prevent COVID vaccines, anyone giving the COVID vaccine or receiving it. We'll talk about that today, along with a whole host of other things that I believe, issues that I believe are pertinent in the society in which we are living in. We'll talk about Hunter Biden, his laptop, and what is happening with the congressional hearings. Do you believe there'll ever be any conviction of Joe Biden and the Biden family cabal? Do you believe that Joe Biden has committed treason? What should be done? How should we respond to that? Those and other main pertinent issues we'll discuss today. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone call right after the monologue, you have open lines, an opportunity to call in. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. But as each and every day, let me remind you that we face the issues based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17 that says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. May I commend it to you as each and every day. But truth is not sought after today. Truth is demeaned, dissed, rejected. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel, 1984, says this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely true today. It is a sad shame that we have so many in society that want to find a way around truth. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's but one truth, and you can have the facts as you believe them, but it doesn't change the truth of what is taking place in our nation today. Truth stands. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe we're rapidly coming to the point that for the child of God, for the Christian, for the conservative, for the patriots, we're going to be placing our lives in jeopardy by standing for the truth. And I believe we ought not to shrink back from it. I believe we ought not to bow or bend. I believe we need to stand and verbally, visibly, be the salt and light that God's called us to be as Christians in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff. That staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. The professional staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment with the backup power equipment that is available. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you might say, what is it about the Ten Commandments? Why are you talking about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments and the lawlessness that we find in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, it seems as though the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party, the woke culture, do not want to be reminded of the Ten Commandments. But I believe they've broken all 10 of the Ten Commandments. All 10 of the Ten Commandments. Now that doesn't mean that as Christians, conservatives, that we're perfect. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when you analyze what the Ten Commandments say, I'm going to take a brief journey through several of them. Then we're going to introduce our guest and talk about them further, along with some other very pertinent communication that we need to have today in relationship to what is happening in America and what Christians need to focus on. You've heard me say before, and may I say again, we have a socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic party today led by Joe Biden out of his basement, if you will, with Barack Hussein Obama really being the president. Joe Biden is the Manchurian candidate, the Manchurian president. He's the puppet. It is Barack Hussein Obama and other socialists, Marxists, communists that are pulling the strings. But Joe Biden is the front to it. But may I say to you, all within the Biden administration, all within the leadership roles, all that heads up the bureaucracies that's extended far and beyond what most people ever understand, they reject anything that'd be called the Ten Commandments. For example, Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, "Thou shalt have no other gods before you me." Yet the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats worship the god of power, of sex, and state that America is not a Christian nation anymore. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." But wait a minute. The liberal Democrats place their power, their money and controls, and Islam before God, the Bible, or Jesus Christ. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Yet cursing and the words against God, cursing God, appears to be the favorite word of the Marxist Democrats today. "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the liberals, the Marxists, the woke culture, mock God and any idea of worshiping God. It was Jerry Nadler, the one of the U.S. Congressmen in the House. Jerry Nadler said probably a year ago now, when one of the other representatives on the floor of the House, reading from the scripture, mitigating speaking against the House Bill H.R. 5 that they were trying to pass and the wretchedness of it, reading scripture, Jerry Nadler screamed, "The Bible, God, has no place in the halls of Congress." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the mindset that the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats have today. "Honor thy father and thy mother." But wait, from Biden all the way down to the Democratic liberals, there's no nothing but contempt shown for the parents and the grandparents because of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that dominates the entire culture of the Democratic Party today. "Thou shalt not kill." Yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's through the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party that we've had about 70 million human beings' lives snuffed out in the mother's womb via also the COVID mass genocide. Millions have been slaughtered, ladies and gentlemen. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We're talking about the Ten Commandments and lawlessness today. But wait a minute, the entire woke culture, the Democratic Party, have no problem with the sodomite marriages, transsexuals destroying our kids today through the school sexualization and the grooming. They have captured the children, our kids, boys and girls, sons and daughters and grandkids today, and bringing them into a lifetime of living outside the plan of God for marriage, one man and one woman. "Thou shalt not steal." Yet via the entire Biden administration and economy today, the system is designed to steal and take away the working person's income and give it to illegal aliens that's coming into the nation by the millions. "Thou shalt not bear false witness." But wait, isn't that exactly what the DOJ, the FBI, and the IRS, and DHS, and all of the other three-letter departments are doing against President Donald J. Trump and all conservatives and Christians and patriots in America today? That's exactly what I see taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a voice that's crying in the wilderness, a voice that I have honor and respect for, that stands for truth and honor in the culture in which we're living in. Congressman Mike Hill, former Representative District 1 in the Florida House of Representatives, I'm delighted to have Congressman Hill with us today. Congressman Hill, thank you for taking your time out of a busy schedule and taking these moments so we can have some dialogue and discussion about some pertinent issues. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me today. It's always an honor to be on your show, and I so appreciate how you started off with your monologue and then continued with the discussion of the Ten Commandments, which are so vital today. they're vital in just how we live our lives on a daily basis.
One of the things that I have found, Congressman Hill, is that what you and I talk about and have great honor and respect for, God, the Word of God, and the Christian life, seems to be viewed with great disdain in the halls within the Beltway, the halls of Congress within the Beltway of D.C., especially on the liberal, woke culture, Democratic side. You've heard what was said in relationship to what I believe is a good evidence that the Democratic Party have broken, have no interest in, all 10 of the commandments. Do you see it that way? Do you have any other insight that we could add to that discussion before we make a transition into other dialogue and discussion today?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. You might recall a number of years ago at the Democrat National Convention where they tried to remove God from their platform. And the person who was administering the conference at that time, who was in charge of it, said, let's take a voice vote to see if we want to remove God from the Democrat Party platform. And the voice vote came back from the crowd, an astounding yes, that they wanted to remove God from the Democrat Party's platform. Well, the person who was in charge said instead the opposite. He said, the eyes have it, we are going to keep God in a Democrat Party platform. And a chorus of boos started ringing out in the convention hall. I recall that distinctly. And the Democrat Party is still that way. They don't even try to disguise it anymore. And I believe it's because they reject the very first commandment. And when you do that, all the others are for naught. And the first commandment saying, you'll have no other gods before me. This is the creator of the universe, El Shaddai, Elohim, where he is saying, I'm the only God there is. You'll have no other God because they don't exist. But those on the left, the irreligious, the immoral, they reject that completely. They say,
Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we've rejected the Ten Commandments, reject any basic ten laws, how can there be any expectation on our behalf of anything that would be an honorable position about any other law? I believe that points to the very focus of my thoughts, that we're living in a nation today of lawlessness. We're living in a nation today with a dual justice system, where there's the mindset that the dictatorship that's in power, they do not have to live under the law, but everybody else does. As a result of that, what are your thoughts in relationship to what they're attempting to do now, as I understand it, with the attempt to indict President Trump the third time? Speak to that a little for our listeners. Some may not even be aware of the first two indictments and now going for the third indictment. What is taking place there, and how should we view that as far as the future of America? And will this destroy the Constitutional Republic if this continues the journey that it's taking now?
It absolutely has a potential of doing that, Dr. Youngblood, of destroying our republic. And the reason being, our founding fathers, Noah Webster being one of them, saying that our Constitution, our republic, is dependent upon a moral and religious people. It will not work if the population is not moral and religious. And there was no doubt, there's no mistaking it, that what they were referring to was Christianity, the Christian religion. They were not talking about Muslim. They were not talking about Buddhist, Hindu, Mormons, anyone else. What they were talking about was Christianity. And without that basics in our community, in our nation, amongst the people, to honor Christianity, the morals and religious tenets that it has, then we have no basis for continuing any other laws. And we are seeing that now, Dr. Youngblood, with how they are treating President Trump, with the ultimate goal of they want to arrest him, they want to put him in prison, they want to stop him from running for president, and they want to set an example that anyone who supports him, you are going to receive the same treatment. And the reason they are doing that is because Donald Trump was on the verge of exposing them all for the corrupt nature that they have.
Absolutely. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please. Kenneth, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead with your question.
Okay. Look, they all need to be arrested. And, I mean, we have evidence. You know, they have evidence. And we got a spineless Republican Party that would not bring this out. They have evidence that the election was a lie. Hunter Biden getting off because I'd have been in prison for about 5 or 6 years for doing what he did. And I remember back in the day, I know they don't probably pledge allegiance to the flag anymore, but I remember when I was in the sixth grade, back in the 60s, early 60s, and I played like I had to go to the bathroom. It was a guy had one of those big pencils, and I was going to steal it and bury it to the side of the school. And the first thing, when I got it, I looked up. I saw, "Thou shalt not kill." I mean, "Thou shalt not steal." And I had to put that pencil back and get my behind back outside for recreation.
And that's exactly what the leftists are afraid of. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to Kenneth's remarks about that?
Oh, Kenneth is exactly right. And that's why they removed the Ten Commandments. Because what they put as their rationale for removing it, they said the students might read it, they might think about it, and they might adhere to it. So that violates separation of church and state, which is nonsense. It violates that. And so we can't have it in our schools. And they remove the Ten Commandments because, just as Kenneth said, they might read it and say, "Thou shalt not steal. Let me put this back. You shall honor your mother and father." Well, no, you don't honor your mother and father. You do what the school district tells you to do instead. So they removed it from the schools to raise a generation, a lawless generation, an immoral generation, which does not adhere to the Ten Commandments. And that's why you see now, Dr. Youngblood, as you started your show, so many young people today who think that truth is just something, whatever you think it to be, not what the Word of God says it is, that Jesus himself, the Lord God Almighty, is truth.
Absolutely. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call and for your input. That was a good personal testimony that vivifies very clearly what we're talking about today and what we're seeing. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts and comments? What are your questions that you would have for Congressman Hill today? Congressman, another question that I am very curious to hear your position on. I'm sure that you're familiar with what's happening in Broward County and Dade County and two or three other counties across Florida. And I find in, I think it's about 10 or 11 counties now in the state of Florida, where they're talking about having a declaration that the COVID-19 vaccination is a bioweapon. Looking at headline, Florida County GOP declares COVID-19 and the mRNA COVID vaccine a bioweapon. Brevard County Republican Executive Committee has passed a resolution and a landslide vote to ban the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine, deeming it to be the virus of a biological and technological weapon. Further in the article, a list of shocking revelations against COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccine, arguing that they were biological and technological weapons and that there is a strong and credible evidence that they alter the human DNA. And I could go on, but I've got a stack of articles about that. Are you familiar with what's happening with that? And even with the governor that's willing to sign legislation that would outlaw anybody giving or receiving the vaccine in the state of Florida? What do you know about that? What are your thoughts on it? What should our listeners understand?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, what you're referring to is what is coming from the Republican executive committees in various counties. Each county has its own Republican executive committee. Some are more conservative than others. And to hear that this is coming out of Broward and Miami-Dade counties is really shocking because they're usually more left-leaning. But we're talking about the Republican Party now, Republican Executive Committee. And anyone who does even a cursory study of the COVID vaccine will quickly see that it is indeed a bioweapon, that it is not there to stop some made-up virus, this COVID-19, that it's actually a money-making scheme to where there were a lot of pharmaceutical companies and others who were connected who made billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, knowing that those vaccines were going to injure and kill a lot of people. So they are bioweapons. And simultaneously, these same companies and people of influence would not allow you to use what they knew was going to be good treatment against this virus, and that's using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That they outlawed you even using that and was trying to force you to take this COVID-19 vaccine. Well, I applaud them for standing up. Here's the only problem with that, Dr. Youngblood. Just because a Republican executive committee comes up with a resolution stating that you cannot force us to take this vaccine, that it is a bioweapon, that doesn't have any force behind it at all. It has to go to the Florida legislature, but at least that's a start. You know, I'm not downplaying it at all. At least it's a start. It then has to go to the Florida legislature, who has to pass a bill, and then the governor has to sign it in order for it to become law. So at the earliest that something like that could happen would be next year. The legislature meets early next year because it's an election year. They start in January. So if there can be some legislation brought forward with that declaration, I think it would be a great thing to happen, and it could be signed into law early next year. So I want to applaud those Republican executive committees for doing that. And it's amazing that those on the left, on the Democrat side, you can't hear a peep out of them, even though what we're doing is trying to protect humans, trying to protect people. They don't seem to have any concern for that as long as they remain in power.
Absolutely. And Congressman, I'm looking at an article. It goes back to the last part of the legislative session and some of the bills that the governor signed into law in May. This article says Governor DeSantis makes COVID-19 policies permanent. Governor Ron DeSantis signs four bills into law. The law providing permanent medical protection for Floridians and the vaccine and mask mandates are banned in Florida. And it goes into great detail about them. One of them being the Senate Bill 252, most comprehensive medical freedom bill in the nation. And it talks about business, governmental entities, et cetera, cannot require proof of a vaccination, et cetera. So I think we're seeing the building of what can be a major, major freedom bill next year. Congressman, hold on for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Russia once again pounding Ukraine's southern cities, including the port city of Odessa, with drones and missiles a third consecutive night. At least two civilians in Odessa have been killed. In the meantime, the White House says Russia is placing sea mines in the waterways approaching Ukrainian ports. Warning comes just days after Moscow suspended participation in a wartime deal that had allowed Ukraine to ship grain to countries around the world. The Biden administration releasing huge numbers of illegal immigrant children with latent tuberculosis into American society without assurances of treatment. Some 2,500 youngsters have been released into at least 44 states. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill, former representative of District 1 for the Florida House of Representatives. We're delighted that he is with us. Just before the news break, we were talking about headline. This was back in May. Governor DeSantis makes COVID-19 policies permanent. One of the things that he says in this bill, schools cannot mandate COVID jabs. Workplaces cannot mandate the vax passports. None of that stuff, he said. It also expands protection that not just for COVID shots, but for any shot under the emergency use authorization. One of the bills prevents the Department of Health from taking any disciplinary action against any doctor for conscience-based objections. DeSantis said it empowers the doctors. Quote, I think it really important for the health of our people that physicians be able to speak the truth, he said. Also, it protects patients with the right to choose COVID-19 treatment alternatives without any hospital interfering. The new laws will ban gain-of-function research, also known as enhanced potential pandemic pathogen research, and makes clear any World Health Organization policy must be approved by the state of Florida before going into effect in the state of Florida. DeSantis said the World Health Organization wants to institutionalize lockdown policies for future pandemic. We also, in this bill, formally reject the World Health Organization and any other international organization. If they want to adopt something, if a country or someone in Florida wants to adopt it, they've got to get the approval of the state of Florida first. And then Congressman Hill, these four bills that were so relevant, I think, House Senate Bill 252, most comprehensive medical freedom bill in the nation, prohibits businesses and governmental entities from requiring individuals to provide proof of vaccination. Number two, prohibiting employees from refusing employment to any or discharging anyone, disciplining anyone, demoting, or otherwise discriminating against any individual solely on the basis of vaccination or immunity status. Prevents discrimination against Floridians related to COVID-19 vaccine or immunity status. I think those were commendable, and I believe that what we're seeing now with the resolutions from the Republican Party executive committees, and it's now in, I believe, 11 counties that they've done that across Florida. I believe Congressman Hill, that it is setting the stage for what you and I believe will be good legislation with good major protections in the next legislative session. And I believe that you've commented on that, and I believe that you're exactly right. And it's my prayer that we'll see that take place. Congressman Hill, on the very, very heels of that statement, World Health Organization, who just warned Dr. Tedros, which is not a physician at all, not a medical doctor, but Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization just announced that in the fall, this fall, that we're going to have a pandemic that will be far more prevalent and more deadly than COVID-19. What are they saying? What do you see in that statement? How do you relate to it?
That statement, Dr. Youngblood, is pure greed. They made so much money off of COVID-19, they're going to try it again with something else. So the greed is the amount of money that they're going to make. But also, I believe this, Dr. Youngblood, that the World Health Organization and other globalists have a goal of reducing our population, the world's population. They tend to have this worldview that people are a stain on our planet, that people use resources, that we're going to run out of those resources because there are too many people. Instead of looking at it from a biblical worldview where God says, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. The more people that there are, the more that we will be able to come up with ways of adapting to living on this planet, which God has given us, to our benefit and for his glory. And so what we're seeing coming from the World Health Organization and other globalists are they do want to reduce the population, again, because they reject the very first commandment. You'll have no other God before me. And they are saying we'll be our own gods. We'll make our own images that we will worship and bow down to, and money is going to be one of our gods. And Jesus so warned us by saying, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's true. Jesus said that. And so they reject God, and instead they go after money. And that means reducing the world's population to get it. It is sinister and it is evil.
Absolutely. And that goes hand in glove with an article that I'm looking at. You know, RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., is running for president, one of the candidates on the Democratic side. And now the Democratic Party, the Biden administration, is trying to eviscerate him because of his stand. I didn't know Congressman until recently. He is a very proficient attorney. He has handled dozens of cases dealing with vaccines and with the pathogens in those vaccines. And he has just made a statement that COVID was targeted as a bioweapon. Now, I heard his interview, and yet the New York Post said that he claimed that it was targeted ethnically to spare the Jews. But that's not what he said. I heard the interview. What are your thoughts when he makes the statement? I'm looking at the headline. Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. hit back Saturday at charges of anti-Semitism contained in the article by John Levine in the New York Post. New York Post story was mistaken, he said. I never, never, never even suggested that COVID virus was an engineered to spare the Jews. I unequivocally deny that. But yet he did say that the COVID vaccine was designed as a bioweapon from genocide to reduce the population on the globe. What do you think will be the end result with the candidacy of Robert Kennedy? Is he a good thing to counter some of the things we see with the Democratic Party? What are your thoughts on the man and his position on vaccines?
RFK Jr. is exactly right. I've been reading some of his things he's been saying over about the past 2 years. Before that, I didn't know anything about him. But he kind of burst on the scene with this whole COVID-19 debacle. And when you read what he says, listen to what he says, he's speaking the truth. And he's doing it in an emphatic way, and he's doing it unapologetically. And as an aside, Dr. Youngblood, I thought this was pretty interesting. Steve Bannon, who I'm sure everyone is familiar with, who at one time was an advisor to President Trump, and Bill O'Reilly. I've heard both of them say, don't be surprised to see RFK Jr. as Donald Trump's pick for vice president. Now,
that would be an interesting combo, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be amazing, because then you would have Republicans and Democrats actually coming together on the same ticket. That would be utterly amazing. Now, if that would actually happen, I don't know. But I did hear that from Steve Bannon and Bill O'Reilly. We'll see. This upcoming presidential election is going to be full of surprises.
Absolutely. Well, you've heard me say for almost 3 years now that my emphatic statement, Joe Biden will not be on the as the candidate for Democratic Party on the November 24, 2024 ballot. I believe that they'll remove Kamala Harris. They will put either Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, or Michelle Obama in as the VP. They'll remove Joe Biden. That VP then will become the appointed VP, will become the candidate for the 2024 presidential election on the Democratic side. I still hold to that. Behind the scenes, Congressman, I just read an article last week that 68% of the Democrats, 68% of Democrats do not want Joe Biden as the candidate. So this man, Robert Kennedy, petrifies them because of his knowledge, his articulation ability, and his stand for truth. It petrifies them. But one of the things in that same vein, thinking about what is happening with COVID and the position on it, I'm looking at a headline article, Tornado Destroys a Pfizer facility in North Carolina, one of the largest sterile injectable facilities in the world. Now, when we think about God and what God does, I go back to about a month ago, a main church in Massachusetts that had just celebrated some LGBTQ pride events. And then the following week, a massive thunderstorm, lightning hit the steeple, burned the church to the ground. And now here's COVID, that the main one that's benefited from the injections is Pfizer. And here's the largest plant in the world by Pfizer, with the sterile injectables, just absolutely destroyed by a tornado. And I think that, if you want to say this, God is laughing at what is happening by man that's trying to destroy God and rejecting God and thumbing their nose at God. How do you respond to an article like that?
Oh, yes, I read that article. That was pretty interesting, Dr. Youngblood, of how tornado comes through and destroys the largest Pfizer manufacturing facility in the world, just flattened it. And I looked at it at first. I said, you know, that's good news, you know, for Pfizer. But then I'll have to admit, I paused a little bit because there are some shots that can be given, some injectables that really help, such as those that are fight bacterial infections and other things that are so needed. Not vaccines, though. I'm against vaccines altogether, Dr. Youngblood. It's been proven historically that they don't do what they are intended to do, what they say they will do. But to get a shot to fight a bacterial infection, which I've had more than once, and to have that infection go away in 2 to 3 days is a good thing. So I hope that that facility, what was not destroyed, are good injectables to help people. But if it meant that it was destroying a lot of vaccines, then yes, that's something that I cheer for.
Absolutely. I'm looking at an article that says, the big catch-up. Chelsea Clinton partners with World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, on the largest childhood immunization effort ever. And the article talks about the fact that these groups together, and of course, keep in mind, Chelsea Clinton, now heading up the Clinton Foundation, now working with Bill Gates and others to inoculate, supposedly, millions. They say more than 25 million children have missed at least one vaccination since 2021. And they're planning on hitting the globe, primarily the continent of Africa and India, with the immunization, supposedly, injections. What is the history of Bill Gates and his foundation and the vaccines that they've given in the past to kids in India and in Africa? What's the end result of that as you know it?
It was an utter disaster, Dr. Youngblood. A lot of those children suffered serious injuries and many also died. And they know that, and they continue to do it anyway. Dr. Youngblood, I experienced this back in 2004. I went on a mission trip to India. It's amazing when I think back on it now. That was almost 20 years ago. I went on a mission trip to India. I was going with a Methodist church from the Pensacola area, and the pastor who was putting it together said, along with getting your passports and so forth, make sure you get a shot for polio, a vaccine. And I said, huh. So I haven't received a shot at all since I left the military in 1990. And before that, they made you once a year get a flu shot. And I was always the one to wear the very last day and would get a call from my commanding officer saying, Captain Hill, we show you haven't gotten your shot yet. Go get it. So I would always wait till the last day to get this shot. I hated it. But since then, I haven't gotten a shot, period, except for that one time. I went to my local doctor at a clinic, and I said, I'm going to this part of India. I need to get a polio shot. He said, no, you don't. And I said, they told me I need to get a shot. He said, well, wait a minute. He goes on his computer. He clicks around a few times, and he looks at me. He says, you have to get a shot. And what he had come upon was that there was an outbreak of polio in that part of India. So I took the shot. Then I go to India. While I was there, Dr. Youngblood, you could read the papers, and it was showing that they were giving this polio vaccine to millions of children in that area. We then returned back home after our two-week trip, and I'm reading the paper again and seeing the deadly results of that, of how children were dying, how they were being maimed and crippled by taking that vaccine. The Bill Gates Foundation knows that. The Chelsea Clinton knows that. That Clinton family is just so corrupt.
Yes.
We really need to just, the world should rejoice when they are finally no longer here, the Clintons and the Bidens, but I digress. So they know what that is going to do, and they know that it is going to hurt those poor nations full of people of color. Note that they're not doing it in Europe.
That's right.
Note that they're not doing it in Eastern Europe. They're not doing it in Russia even. But they go to the poor nations and where there are a lot of people of color, again, with, I believe, the intent to kill as many as possible.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got a few minutes left on the air, and I want to wrap up with some good news amongst all of the bad news. There's a wonderful, I've not seen it, but there's a wonderful, wonderful movie called The Sound of Freedom. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I've seen some of the lead-ups to that movie and some major, major publicity on it. Tell us about that movie. What are your thoughts on it and why we should be interested in what they're presenting on that video movie?
Dr. Youngblood, you bring up such a great point. That movie, I will admit, I haven't seen it yet. I've seen the trailers. I've seen the interviews of those who put it together. Jim, I believe you pronounce his name, Caviezel. Caviezel, who played the part of Jesus in the Passion of the Christ. Put this movie together, and what he is doing is exposing this horrific thing we're seeing now of human sex trafficking of children throughout the world. He is exposing this. Even though I haven't seen the movie, everyone who I speak to who have seen it, they rave about it. They say, you must go see it. You know, it's a great movie. It did very well at the box office, beating out Disney and Indiana Jones and other movies, which had a huge budget, including a huge marketing and advertising budget. And The Sound of Freedom did not, and was able to come back with a very strong showing at the box office. People are going to see this movie and is opening their eyes to this evil of trafficking children around the world. And they're saying that human trafficking is such a evil money maker, more so than drugs and weapons. And they're saying the reason being is that you can traffic drugs, sell them, they're consumed and gone. You can traffic weapons. Weapons are sold somewhere, they're used to kill other people, then they're gone. But when you traffic a person, that person can be trafficked repeatedly. And that is why it is such a money maker for these evil people. And what this movie, Sound of Freedom, does is expose those people. It exposed this entire system. And I believe God is going to use that, Dr. Youngblood, to bring an end to what we are seeing as this international human sex trafficking.
Absolutely. That's a part of the problem that we find with the open borders. And Joe Biden and his administration, I believe, is the instigator, the main component of what we're finding with that today, and its exacerbation on a global basis. Congressman, I find it fascinating, too. Don't know if you're aware of this, but it was through Fox Movies that this movie was started. Then that division of Fox, the movie portion, was sold to Disney. Disney then reviewed with the one that was developing it, the producer of that movie, The Sound of Freedom. Disney told him that we have no interest in that kind of movie, no interest in that kind of production. So it was on the shelf, and the producer was praying, God, find some way, give me some open door that can be finalized and shown to the world. And of all things, he said that the movie set or the movie production house out of Utah, Salt Lake City, I believe it was Utah, a little small town in Utah, not Salt Lake, but it's called Angel Productions. Angel Productions bought it from Disney. He picked right back up and chose Jim Caviezel then to star in the movie. And the end result is now, as you said, it beat out other major productions at the theaters. In fact, it's brought in thus far about $11 million, if I'm not mistaken, in dollars, or $111 million, some astronomical number. But I was thankful to hear. In fact, I watched this morning on Fox and Friends, the producer and Jim Caviezel, the key star, in their dialogue and discussion about what has happened, how it's come about, and what God is doing. And they were praising God on every hand for his opening the door and providing the mechanism for that to go forth. Do you believe, this is the question, do you believe that Biden is familiar with what he's doing? Some have said that he is the one that is the key element that's allowing this to take place. Now, he's got a lot of faults, and I'd admit that. I don't know that I could say that he is knowledgeable in this, but with his open borders policy, it is setting the stage to allow this to take place. Several have written on that subject. Several have made some pretty good points that he is the orchestrator of it, that is Joe Biden. What is your position, should there be a position taken from the Republicans in confronting the Biden administration with that, or do you believe that they're doing all they can at this juncture?
I think what the Biden administration is doing with these open borders is an attempt to gain power for the Democrat Party, because they know that the more that they allow into this country of these illegal immigrants, this invasion of people who will then become dependent on the government to provide for them, that they will vote for the Democrat Party to continue receiving those benefits. That's what I believe is happening. Now, I believe that sinister, evil people have seized upon that and are now using it as human trafficking of these children. Now, I also believe that the Biden administration is aware of this that is happening, and they're not doing anything about it. They are still allowing these children to come across this border unaccompanied, and having people show up saying, oh, that's my nephew, I'll take care of them, and then you never hear from these children again.
Right.
The Biden administration is aware of that and is sinister that they will not stop it.
And they're allowing that to come in, and then as I understand the process, correct me if I'm wrong, the process is once they come in, as you said, there's an individual who says, well, they're my relative, et cetera, take responsibility. And then there's what they call the NGOs, the non-government organization, that head up the responsibility of taking those kids and transferring them across the nation. And I believe we have non-governmental organizations that's the promulgators for this, that's the profit makers in this, that's the ones that's really wind up being the in the states, traffickers of these children, and abusing them and destroying their lives. And as a result of that, I believe that we see Disney's hand at play in that. Looking at the headline, Disney crowd sizes shockingly low amid the backlash. It is my opinion, final question and answer statement, I believe we need to continue as Christians boycotting Target, Walmart, Kohl's, Chick-fil-A, Cracker Barrel, Disney, and all of Disney products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's now out in your face against morals and ethics and values of Christians. Got about 10 seconds. Your final thought.
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. And we Christians are making that statement. And that's why we are seeing how Bud Light, Disney, Target, they're losing a lot of money because Christians are not spending their money with them. And I say more power to them.
Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for